Now, I was single for a long time, and I was just kind of strange, but I didn't want to live with nobody unmarried. When I come home, I want my peace and quiet. If I'm going to be single, I'm going to be what? Single. I ain't going to be married and single. And I wasn't saved, but that was just me. I couldn't reconcile going through all that drama and stuff. If I'm going to go through some pain and suffering, I'm going to have to be married. Glory to God. I ain't going through this single. Glory to God. I'm going to argue with somebody. I'm going to be married. We got to fix it now.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World. I'm bringing you a message over the next few days called The Top 10 Reasons for Not Shacking. Call someone you know that may be in that living arrangement and have them to join you as you listen to this message today.
That was a time when a boy would meet a girl, they would fall in love, and if they were anywhere near the age of responsibility, they did all they could to marry each other. Some of you are old enough to remember how many of your classmates out of high school got married as soon as they could. As soon as they graduated, they wanted to be married. Those days are long gone. Marriages seem to be in the decline in our society, and more couples are making a decision to live together without being married. In 2004, there were 5,080,000 unmarried couples living together in America. Over half of all first marriages are now preceded by living together, compared to almost none 50 years ago. Between 1960 and 2004, the number of unmarried couples living together in America increased over 1,200%. The relationship or the arrangement of those living together unmarried are referred to in several ways. When I was a child, every once in a while, you'd hear about somebody who was common law married. We didn't know what that was. They threw the married on there, but it was just common law. They live in common law. As a child, you just had no idea what that meant. And then in the 70s, they start calling it shacking. And now it is cohabitating. But Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. And Jesus mentions in one of his teachings a case of a woman shacking in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 9 through 18, it says this: The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So he told her in verse 16, Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the husband you now have, the Amplified and the New Living Translation says, and that you are living with, is not your husband. Jesus takes some time here to minister to this woman who's living in this situation. He is not berating her. He is not trying to belittle her. He's just giving her a statement of the fact. But I want you to notice that in this passage, Jesus is also knowing her condition, knowing what living arrangement she had. Even before he began to talk to her, he offered her the living water of the Spirit of God. But then he wanted her to know. She says, I want this water. And he said, before we get to this water, let's talk about your situation. So today we're going to talk about something here that I've never really explored to this length before. But in our culture and in our country, as we see the phenomenon of unmarried couples living together, I think it is part of the church's responsibility to share out of love and compassion and the spirit of grace, the word of God concerning this living arrangements that we see more prevalent in our country and in our churches. So I want to talk about today the top 10 reasons for not shacking. The top 10 reasons for not shacking. Before we do that, however, I was doing some research and I ran across a survey that was put together where people talked about the top 6 reasons for cohabitating. And I want to show you what those top 6 reasons that these surveyors had said, because there are some reasons that people think that that's a good living arrangement for themselves. Number one, they say that two can live cheaper than one. The second reason, they said a test drive is the best way to find out whether you're going to be happy. You want to test it out first. Thirdly, they say that love doesn't need a piece of paper. Fourthly, they said there is security and support in being together. Fifth, they said we can avoid the painful effects of divorce. And sixth, they said the sex is better. That's what they say. And while those who are in that situation have justified and reasoned in their minds the benefits they receive, I want to give you my top 10 reasons for not shacking. And I'm going to go from 10 to 1. Number 10, married couples get more financial benefits. Married couples are entitled to literally hundreds of rights and protections that permeate their financial relationship. By filing jointly, married couples can pay significantly less tax than similarly situated unmarried couples. Dependent health benefits are tax-free for married couples, whereas an unmarried couple is taxed. Married people often receive lower insurance rates, availability and lower cost of loans from banks, employer-sponsored events, free and reduced tuition of spouses of university employees, and family discounts. These are just practical financial reasons. Unmarried partners cannot receive the Social Security survivor benefits that married partners do. So our health care is available to married couples through Medicare and Medicaid spousal benefits. That's not available to those who are unmarried. So 10, married couples get more financial benefits than unmarried couples. Number 9, there are some medical life and death decisions that only legal spouses can make. So when people come together and they're living together and they love each other and one of them gets sick, one of them get ill, one of them get to the point where somebody has to make a decision about their treatment, spouses can do that. Unmarried live-in people can't. Spouses are allowed to make life-saving decisions for each other without drafting powers of attorney or other complicated legal documents. There have been occasions where people have lived together for years and one of them gets sick and then the family member come in and won't let that other person even visit. I say, that's my boo. Well, you can't visit your boo. And you have no legal right. And they start fighting at the hospital. Dependent health benefits are tax-free for married couples, whereas an unmarried couple is taxed. In cases of medical emergency, doctors can leave unmarried partners out of critical decision-making processes without the legal documents that they have. They are left out. Marriage eliminates any need for those legal documents, although they're still good to have, but when push comes to shove, they'll look to a spouse to decide. I've seen cases where people have passed away that were living with somebody, and then they have no influence over the funeral arrangements, or anything else. The parents or some of the family members come in, they take over, and you're wondering why you don't have no choice. They don't even want to put you on the program. And you've been living with them and sharing and spending your money, and they say, no, we ain't going to put you on the program. And so the authorities have to honor those who are legally capable and legally applied to do those kinds of things. Number eight, there are legal benefits that are only for the married. Spouses normally inherit each other's estates without the need for an intricate will. So when you come together and you buy your house together and you put all your money together and one person die, you do not have the legal right to that other person's asset if you are not married. You can be married and don't have a will. The spouse is the first person that the court looks to inherit the rest of what you have if there is no will at all. Doesn't happen when you're living together. Divorce laws protect both members of a marriage. If you're married and you're having some difficulties in your marriage and you decide to get a divorce, the courts give you some rights and protection as a spouse. But when you break up as a couple living together, you have no rights and recourse. You just had to get your stuff and go on. The spouse of a U.S. citizen may obtain residency in the United States without a long legal battle. So if you marry somebody who's not a citizen, that other person who you marry can come into the United States without having those long legal battles. You can't do that when you're living together. Married people may adopt the children of their spouses easily and cheaply. Number seven, the children benefit when the parents are married. Marriage protects the economic interest of children by providing an economic safety net to their family and the kids themselves. The children of legally married couples are automatically eligible for health benefits from both parents, as well as child support and visitation from both parents in the event of separation. If one of the parents dies, the law provides financial security not only for the surviving spouse, but for the children as well by ensuring eligibility to all appropriate entitlements such as Social Security, survivor benefits, and what have you. Children have an automatic and undisputed access to the resources, benefits, and entitlements of both parents. Number six, it is a myth that living together automatically leads to marriage. 50 to 60% of first-time cohabitators marry the person with whom they cohabitate. That means 40 to 50% don't marry. 76% of the people, when they start living together, report that they plan to marry their partner. But actually, there's nowhere near that number of them that get married. 10 to 30% of those people who live together like that never intend to marry. And those who cohabitate more than once prior to marriage have a much higher rate of divorce. 26% for the women and 19% for the men. The more you stay together, the more you are likely to divorce. It's a myth that living together automatically leads to marriage.
This is Pastor Jerry G. Martin, and I certainly hope that you have enjoyed this sensitive but serious message that we've given to those who find themselves in a living arrangement that's not pleasing to God. It is important to note that for the woman at the well, Jesus offered her living water, knowing her circumstances and her living arrangements before he asked her about them. God wants the church to minister to these couples so that they will come to know him as we minister to them in love and grace. Now I just want to take a moment to give you a special invitation to come and be my guest at the Light of the World. God is doing some tremendous, wonderful things. We've heard testimonies of healing and deliverance and provisions. God has begun this year showing himself strong on our behalf. So come and be my guest. If you are not connected in a church family or a church home, the Light of the World is a place to believe, it's a place to belong, it's a place to allow God to fulfill his will and purpose in your life so that not only can you be blessed, you can bless others. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. For more information, visit us online at www.lowcf.org. Also want to mention to you that our Beacon Bookstore and Gift Shop is operating right here on our campus. If you're a pastor or a church and you need church supplies, communion supplies, Sunday school books, or resource material, just call us at the Beacon at 281-441-2885. That's 281-441-2885. If you're looking for a place to have a small conference or a banquet, or a wedding, call the Beacon Resource Center at 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Pastor Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly, richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.